Anybody else talk to Sue yesterday?
No, honey, Shelly calls you.
No, she called me. She calls me about her.
To the guy we usually go to, and he said, "Where's your mother?"
And I lost it. I started laughing. I lost it.
Where are this morning's cinnamon rolls?
You mean your cinnamon roll?
Yeah.
If you'll take a quick look, stage left.
Down from
in the
right here?
Yeah.
Where's your mother? Hispanic guy. We're talking about Sue.
To me.
Thank you.
Well, that's like the time the druggist asked where my wife was. Betty.
Betty?
Oh, the sandwich shop, the sub shop. Betty and I used to go to the sub shop all the time, and I went without her, and he said, "Where's your wife?" She loved that.
I wish she did. Your mama.
Romans.
Still wrong.
12. We've studied a lot about the meaning of a living sacrifice and what it means to be holy and acceptable and reasonable service. And now in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. The word conformed is, it fundamentally means, he's saying, do not have an outward expression that does not come from within. And it's a summary command in Greek. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And so this then becomes everything.
It's just one of those things that follows. It's like you do this, what it says in one, presenting your body, and then this is what will happen.
No, it says it will happen by the renewing of your mind. If you go to war with your mind, you'll be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the renewing of your mind is the agency. Now, it's nigh impossible for us to understand how totally that we are conformed to this world. It began at the moment of your self-awareness. When a child becomes aware of self, that is the evidence of the fall. And that's why you must become as this little child. And again, in the word is darling infant. And it means before you came to the position of self-awareness. Now you become as that little child by the renewing of your mind. But in order for the renewing of your mind to take place, you have to see the futility of every aspect of your life that you have been conformed to this world. Now, the conforming of this world starts, again, at that point of self-awareness. And you become aware that a certain glance means approval, and another kind of glance is disapproval. And you begin to move towards what you think of as pleasure and move away from that which you think of as pain or any kind of suffering. Now think of the infinite number of compromises that you have made from that time of self-awareness until now in order to conform you to this world. They're uncountable. It began with even with language. It's hard for us to conceive this, but stop a minute and think about from the standpoint of God. Every society, no matter how small or how big, if it's a common society, has a common language. Now just think of what it took for you to learn language. Just think of what it took for you to learn writing. And every one of those, what it takes to, is conforming you to the world. It goes on and on and on and on. And you go through your entire education, your value systems, what you think of as good, what you think of as bad, what's the right way to do something, what's the wrong way. And again, that's why we have Harry here, so we can see how stupid that is.
Last year, Harry died. Position's open.
No, that was Clyde that died. That's Harry's not had me. That position forever.
To be Harry.
It's so when we use language as the basis of our understanding of the mystery of God, then we've compromised it. Can you hear that?
Well, it's like the baby does this thing where it cries, even before it even knows language. That's its version of language, and then it knows that mom comes and picks me up when I do that. And so everything else that we do is sort of a version of that, more sophisticated.
Right.
If I do this in society, things get better. If I do this, it'll get worse.
And so we come to this place when you, if you really take all, if you again, if you take and expand the tent pegs to the edge of time and space itself and take a look at who and what you are, you find out that everything you are is a tradition. It's a tradition of men. You've invented yourself and you've kept modifying it. And it's a constant thing through your early ages, some still now. You find out what style is good, what the popular kids are wearing, you know, on and on and on, ad nauseum.
That's a real problem around here.
Yeah.
Can't you tell?
But you have some kind of a really, really bad self-image, and you work your butt off in order to get rid of that self-image. I mean, it's endless. And so each one of those things are conforming you to this world. Does everybody understand? Do you really understand how you're totally and completely a manifestation of being conformed to this world? What do you do about it then? The first thing is you present yourself a living sacrifice without condition. And the second thing you do is you go to war with the vehicle or the instrument that's keeping you conformed to this world. And the warfare has to be violent. But it's a warfare with you, not with anyone else. And that's why Christianity is nigh unto impossible in modern in the modern church, because you go to the church of your choice. You go to be with people like you. It seems, when you think about it, it seems impossible to be in any other way than you are.
That statement right there really points out that the mercy of God is manifest in our failure. It's the crack in the mirror. It's the scratch that lets you see through the glass. It's the only...
Well, it's
the only way out.
It's what we've talked about so often. It's that great word, poverty or poor, where you can't accomplish that which you know, even now as a religious being, you want to accomplish something. And that the moment that takes place, then you become a debtor again. So the debt is just 10 times as great as a religious vehicle than it was before. So it, you know, that's why it says you travel over in sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you make him twice the child of hell that you are. You learn from the very beginning everything you learned on the basis of not just behavior, but on ways of thinking. It's cause and effect. If I do this, this will happen. And then you extend that into your education, and everything becomes the basis of all of what who and what you are is this cause and effect. And that is cause and effect is the most severe enemy of mercy and grace. And then you even with the cross, and you try to use the cross again for cause and effect, because there's always a way you think it should look. But just stop a minute and think how much, or is there anything about you that isn't conformed to this world?
There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death.
So, I mean, the
it's for death.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the weapons of that warfare are not carnal. They're not anything. It's not psychobabble. It's not. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, casting down these imaginations, and every one of those high places that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge with severity that disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. And the predicate for that warfare is you can't have a need. So any need is an illusion. You've been perfected by one offering, so any attempt to change has no foothold. And everything is finished. And every knee is bowing. And every tongue is confessing. And so everything about you, every thought, every emotion that testifies that it is not finished, that you have not been perfected, has to be revenged. Can't happen. You can't possibly revenge it if you give breath to what you do and think. That's why if you take a stand about something, you haven't just taken a stand about that thing, you have resurrected from the dead, from the deadly head wound, that evil one, that snake that is causing you all the misery in the first place. Do you understand that? It's either total abandonment or total resurrection of the evil one. So, this is why I just go insane when you either you have some sweet thought or I see you taking a stand about something. It's not that I totally give a rat's ass about what somebody's opinion is about something, but it's the evidence that you've resurrected the evil one. How's that worked out for you? You know, I care anything about Dallas Cowboys or Mavericks or whoever. The only thing I care about, I don't like it that their loss probably made Jeff sad. But these stands, these opinions, these things that in that are in this world for which you give breath to, that, remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, love there is the verb. It means give importance to, give breath only to Him. Everything else is equal. There's no, it's only Him. And when somebody wants to tell me they have sweet thoughts, that's really going to set me over the edge. Or somebody's going to tell me it takes time for this to happen, that's really going to set me over the edge. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. Everything must have its as its origin the first source. There is only one first source. That's the Father. And you have the ability to tap into that first source for everything because of the Son. And the Holy Spirit will become your enemy for everything in which it isn't only the Son. Because that's His only job, is to reveal Christ. They speak of the world, and the world hears them. Go to 1 John 4. Let's read that.
First John what?
4. Verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You can't speak of the world sometimes. You can't try to have small talk with somebody, and but all that's doing is resurrecting the evil one. Can you see it? Does anybody not see it? Let's put it that way.
What you seem to be saying is that if you're having small talk, there's a problem. That there should be no...
Forget should. I don't care what you do. I just want you to know what you're doing. When you speak of the world, you resurrect the evil one because you're giving breath to him. Whether you do with that or not is not my business. But if you do it without repentance, then it becomes my business. Sometime, at some point. Because my job is to present you perfect in Him. And the only way I can do that is present you without that. I've said from the very beginning, if you ever hear me say something that you think is something I told you to do, what to do or not to do, then you've heard wrong. Because it's never my intent to tell you what you're doing or what not to do. My intent is to simply show you what you're doing. But if you take it, well, all he said to do that, then you've missed the whole damn point. I don't care what you do. That's your business. But if my job is to point out when you're eating dust, when you've resurrected the evil one. And if you don't hear this, then you don't hear it. I can't do anything about it. What? You're doing it.
I'm just contemplating what that means.
It's pretty big, isn't
what
it?
What that looks like.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't look like anything.
Matter is either.
No.
Because if I fill my, you know, pack my language with religious jargon, which, hey, I've done that quite a bit, then the problem is I'm still talking about me. You know, I can be talking about anything. When I'm there doing in the middle of it, then it's going to be screwed up. And so... So if you flip over and say, okay, I'm just going to talk about religion.
Well, just let me hear this again. You are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. Period. Gary, you're obviously troubled by this. What's confusing?
It's as if when you go places and you speak, and if you speak of anything, you know, that's going on around you, is that speaking of the world?
You've got to find that out for yourself. It's obviously something is bothering you about this. Damn well it should. I mean, hear it again. Let's say it again. You are of God, little children. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to Christ in you, the only hope of glory. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them.
Okay, we're talking about the spirit of Antichrist here. Right?
Which is what all the only thing I'm talking about. The snake, the dust eater.
Yeah, what I'm struggling with is the hearing of this. If not heard correctly, then you go about changing your speech so that you won't be one of those people speaking of the world.
No, you're putting yourself in the middle of it. You can speak, but it's Christ. It's words that come out of your mouth are Christ in you.
Well,
whether it's small talk or not, if it's going to be there, it's going to be there. But the second that you try and create a scenario or try and, you know.
You'll either dismiss this or it'll cause you to go to war. There's no in between. You'll dismiss it and say, that must mean something else. Which a lot of you have done over the years. It's not very complicated, but something about it is really bothering you.
I guess it's the idea that the implication, I hear from you that if anybody's having small talk, they need to be jacked up and abraded or something, and I don't think that's what you're saying, but that's what
I'm just saying if you're having small talk, that's what you're doing. You're resurrecting the evil one.
Yeah, but don't be having small talk around you, or there's going to be hell to pay. That's the way it sounds. You're going to be jumping.
Well, how's that worked out?
Well, I don't know how it works out, but that's what I hear you saying, and I don't think that's right. I don't think that's true.
Well, tell me what's true then.
Well, you just do what you do, and the conversation is if you're having small talk, you're having small talk, and I don't think that is evil. Because that's just, it's just what's happening. Then if something is there with you and another person, you happen to be engaging.
So there's two different worlds now.
No, it's the same world. I'm not separating them.
Yes, you are.
It sounds like you just dismissed.
Dismissed what the whole verse said. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10.
You can be speaking of the world. It doesn't matter what the context, what are you talking about? you're talking about theological truth, and then suddenly there you are in the middle of it, talking about the will, because you're there. So the response is to be repentance.
But if there's no repentance, then nothing can happen. But it, from what I've heard you, with your response this morning, it seems like you don't want to repent.
I don't want to not. I don't want to circumcise myself so that there's no place or nothing to even repent of. I don't. Repentance is the way of life. But you bust me on the sweet thought thing. Well, that's being enticed, and if you're enticed, you're drawn away. Well, when you see it that you've been drawn away, you turn from it.
But what happens if that twinkling of an eye comes? Do you have any fear of God in this at all?
I have confidence in God.
You don't have fear?
I have more confidence than fear.
Theory's going to kick my ass for you?
I mean, they...
You know what? It seems to me that there is... There's some kind of basic theology that is the foundation for Gary. And that basic theology sounds like eternal security.
And in Christ, there is.
Then what is all of this that we've just read? What is the warfare? What is the violent take it by force? What is... There has to be an internal mind-numbing battle, because the eternal security issue is only for Christ. You seem to be justifying being conformed to this world.
And I don't think that's what's going on inside of me.
Well, I know you don't.
I know that's what you hear and maybe others hear. But to me,
the confidence in God, what does that mean? How is that lived?
That He is revealing Himself always in everything, no matter what's happening.
But how has that lived in you?
By not stopping myself, or by not trying to...
By not repenting.
No, repentance is always the key. But you got to have something to repent of, or you're...
That's what I'm trying to get at. I think that your basis of your theology is eternal security.
Well, let's say that's true.
Then there's no zeal. Because you can just live your life and do your thing without any consequences.
No, that's not part of the formula for me. I live my life, and as it's revealed to me what I need to repent, when I need to repent, I can't wait to repent. That's my salvation. But I can't square being... with circumcision.
You can't square... Here's the issue. You can't square that repentance is the death of Gary.
No, I've squared that.
Then what is all this stuff that's justifying small talk? As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Where's the revenge?
When I come up against myself not wanting to repent, like battle.
But what, not wanting to repent is...
Fighting repentance, however you want to say it. Trying to hold on to self, trying to...
Because you think something of the something of something, there is something of value in that action.
Yeah, that's the evil in me, I guess you'd say.
Then there's no, then the zeal gets lost.
I don't think it gets lost. I mean, when it's going on inside of me, it's not lost.
Listen to this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing or high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, you seem to be saying that your obedience is fulfilled on this progressive state, that when you see something that's going on and then something happens and then you may not want to repent, and you decide you want to repent.
Take the word progressive out, because that implies what you see.
Accuse you of.
Yeah, that okay. implies that I'm a time-space being, and then you talk down to me when you do that.
Right, I will do that until hell freezes over.
Well, then, all right, then we'll keep fighting.
But listen, you revenge the disobedience. The disobedience is the great transgression. The great transgression is Gary.
No argument. But it's not a one time, I did it 10 years ago. It's a lifestyle. It happens when it happens. It happens all the time. I can't imagine that it doesn't happen that way in everybody, actually.
I don't know, Gary. It just seems to me that, again, the way your words come across, maybe it's not what your heart is saying, but maybe it is, that it's this thing about small talk. Well, I'm just going to do the small talk until... But Mike, because there's no willingness to see the futility and emptiness of it. It's like...
No, I already see that.
Then why would you do it?
The idea of saying, okay, now I'm not going to small talk anymore.
Nobody's saying that.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
That you're saying you're justifying it.
I'm not saying I'm justifying it. I'm just not going to circumcise myself. If there's
I promise you, circumcising yourself wouldn't work in the first place. You just become a better hypocrite. There's got to be more. Something is missing, and I can't put my finger on it. Because your countenance fell when I read 1 John. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And I spoke that in regard to small talk about and anything else. Anything else? Opinions about XYZ? It's like that's when your countenance fell.
Well,
I think you heard it like, don't, when you go out in the world, don't frickin' small talk. But I don't think that's what he said.
That's probably not what he said, but that's what I'm hearing is that now small talk is evil. If you catch yourself small talking,
But why would you justify it? That's what I don't understand, Gary.
Because I don't want to judge good and evil. I don't want to get myself in that place because my religious...
You better judge good and evil in you.
Well, I already have. It already has been judged. And I'm wanting. And I'm fully wanting. So I abandon myself.
Somebody help me. I'm not communicating. Does anybody see what I'm, what's going?
It has to do with John Rutledge, Gary Buckner, you know, and it's no matter what you're doing, you know, you have to repent.
But I've
so,
said know, it. That's not a question.
If I'm particularly good at humor, then, and not small talk, then I'm going to think that, you know, that's the thing that, you know, where I get life out of, then I've got to see that and repent.
Right.
If I'm not really good at small talk and I don't like the small talk, then this speaking of the world means something different. I have to see what that means, you know. So what does it mean? You know, it's like it's there. You know, so where does that hit you? And so Tyler's saying he sees maybe it's hitting you in this when he mentions small talk. So take a look at it.
John? Anything going on in here?
Yeah, I think you guys got sideways with this small talk thing.
I know. That's
the
extent.
That's the extent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, the extent of it is Gary hears small talk, meaning that I guess you don't exercise your voice unless there's something definitive to say. Right? And we don't do that. We say it's cold outside, or I don't know what small talk is.
Coffee's good.
Right?
The cowboy's
lost. Well, it's a slippery, slimy slope. There's no question of that, because we delude ourselves, and before we know it, we have taken a stand, or we've formed an opinion, or all the things that are truly evil. I guess there's a difference between being quiet and being still.
There is a, Gary, I have no doubt with everything in me that you are called, that you are the way you should be, that your position in Christ is real. You know it's Christ, all about Christ in you. But somehow, the things that trouble you, or what I saw, one of the reasons I called it out, is your countenance fell. Is it's like there's something that there's something really subtle and really deep that anchors you to that which you don't want to be anchored by. And it's, you know, I have confidence that it'll be revealed and it'll be taken care of. But it's a continuum. And I want you totally free. And there are just certain things that come up that this, you know, that we have one of these sessions.
Yeah.
And it seems to me, and I think to others, that when these kind of things happen, it somehow what it, you know, I just got to tell you what I hear and what I sense is a justification of rebellion. That's the bottom line. And
it's like you look into the future and say, well, I'm going to do something I need to repent of, and then I'm going to repent, and it's going to be okay. And I see that happening over and over again. And that's not revenging the disobedient.
Yeah, I guess it's seeing, you know,
know, I'm guilty in repenting and not making provision that, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this again, you know, tomorrow or later today or whatever. I have to not even think like that. It's like, I will never do this again. I mean, I'm not.
It's just right now.
And so there is no provision that, you know, I'm going to do this again and I'm going to repent again.
Yeah, what Paul's saying is that, you know, should we then sin so we can see more grace happen? He said, God forbid. Yeah. So that's the thing is projecting into the future and saying, well, gee, it's, you know, it's so great to experience grace. I mean, you know, do a bunch more things so I can get, you know,
a little grace.
It's like, that's not the way it works.
Well, it's
only a moment, complete repentance, and
there's no provision.
We don't need a provision for the future.
And again, you know, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And it's like what I hear, even when whether it's over this morning or whether it's over time, it's that you want to make a provision in case that you don't see it fully for the future. And that provision to fulfill, in case you don't see it fully in the future, is what's keeping you from the fullness of the mystery now. I know that, you know, we read it. They speak of the world heareth them. Can you not just say, Father, forgive me for speaking of the world in any way? And then the rest of it is up to him. And that has to be every day we have to have. But we can't make a provision in case I speak of the world again. Because then it's that provision keeps you locked in the carnality. And if the instruments, the discussion is about time. The discussion is about time keep you locked in time.
I heard what you just said.
Yeah. And so it's I want, you're free now. You've been perfected by one offering now. You don't ever need to speak of the world again. So make no provision for what's going to happen next. And I think it's because of everything that you did with regard to how you trained your mind that you have to have that escape hatch. Well, you can't have an escape hatch. Then you haven't presented yourself as a living sacrifice. Your escape hatch is mental as opposed to... But I think there's also some guilt there that's keeping you from total freedom. And that guilt has no place anymore. No, I'm not picking on you.
No, I know you're not.
You haven't always known that.
Now.
See? But anyway, that's you've heard what I said. Can you put it in what I said in your language?
Can I do what now?
Can you restate what I said as you heard it?
Yeah.
You don't want to hear it.
Well, it's a religion. I have that. As much as I say I hate religion, I know that I use it, and part of my religion is to take the gospel and use it to benefit myself, and that's one way I work it. Is making provision for the flesh.
Amen. Well, that's that. Just,
I see it right this minute.
Yeah.
I might not see it in a minute, but I see
there
it.
There you
right
go.
Now.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
no, you can't do it.
I was just demonstrating.
Thank you. That's all that. I'm surprised we don't have more uniformity of thought here in this talk.
Let's get out of hand. Let's get this locked down.
All righty. Consider it carefully. Take it, big guy.